This is Davin's Den.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Davin's End, part two, long part one. But hey, we had to talk about Joe's podcasting career in the middle of it. What are you going to do?
Stuff happens. Just an idea.
A man of ideas.
It's an idea. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I don't have the time to do it.
We're not rehashing it. We had the conversation.
I understand. I don't want to rehash
it. And you know what? And your boss weighed in. So apparently it's a stupid idea.
Okay. All right.
The one who has authority over you, not your Lord and Savior,
we could
your
start
Joe's girl, has weighed in, and that be that.
Whoops.
That be that.
To do it, but it doesn't seem feasible. Instead.
According to her, it most certainly does not.
No, it's my ass, yeah.
There are things you have time for. That might be shut off. If
no,
it's going to
be a long ride home tonight.
And yeah, don't stick to those guns. Turn in those guns, sir. Yeah. All right, well...
There most likely is going to be an after-show meeting.
It most certainly is.
Oh, hey, maybe you can put that on Instagram.
No, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same. No, I figured no. Well, no, yeah, I know. I heard stupid during the show.
It's a terrible thing to call Joe's girl. Anyway, stop it. All right, we got some School of Fools. The first story, this broke last week. I think it's kind of crazy. While most Harvard freshmen settle into their dorms, one new student, Ishmael B. Ajawi, 23, faces ongoing negotiations with immigration officers to allow him to enter the United States and study at the college. U.S. officials deported Ajawi, a 17-year-old. I don't know why it says a 23-year-old and a 17-year-old, but it's from the Harvard fucking paper. So maybe the kid's not missing much. I don't understand.
Somebody's getting a B-.
He's a 17-year-old. He was an incoming freshman. He's a 17-year-old Palestinian resident of Tyre, Lebanon. Shortly after he arrived at Boston Logan International Airport, before canceling Ajawi's visa, so he had a legally obtained visa, immigration officers subjected him to hours of questioning, at one point leaving to search his phone and computer, according to a written statement by Ajawi. This is a 17-year-old. University officials are currently working to resolve the matter before classes begin, which began today. Harvard spokesman Jonathan Swain wrote, the university is working closely with the student's family and appropriate authorities to resolve this matter so that he can join his classmates in the coming days. Harvard both employs immigration lawyers at the Office of the General Counsel and staffs the Harvard International Office. Both groups work to resolve visa-related problems like Ajawi's. Ajawi wrote that he's been in contact with the HIO Director of Immigration Services, Maureen Martin. Ajawi wrote that he's also contacted Ahmed East, the nonprofit organization that awarded him a scholarship to study in the U.S., which is now providing him legal assistance. A State Department official declined to comment specifically on Ajawi's case, as visa records are confidential under U.S. law, Customs and Border Protection. Spokesperson Michael S. McCarthy wrote in an email statement from the CBP. They found Ajawi inadmissible to the country. Applicants must demonstrate they are admissible in the U.S. by overcoming all grounds of inadmissibility, including health-related grounds, criminality, security reasons, public charge, labor certification, illegal entrance, and immigration violations, documentation requirements, and miscellaneous grounds. Miscellaneous grounds. What the fuck is that? McCarthy wrote. I said that. He didn't write that.
What the fuck is
that? He might have thought it, but he didn't write it. This individual was deemed inadmissible to the United States based on information discovered during the CBP inspection. Okay, what did they find? Al-Jawi wrote he spent 8 hours in Boston before he was required to leave upon arrival. Ajawi faced questioning from immigration officials along with several other international students. While the other students were allowed to leave, Ajawi alleges an immigration officer continued to question him about his religion and religious practices in Lebanon. The same officer then asked him to unlock his phone and laptop and left to search them for roughly 5 hours. That's a fucking invasion, Ajawi alleges. After the search, the officer questioned him about his friend's social media activity. When I asked every time to have my phone back so I could tell them about the situation, the officer refused and told me to sit back in my position and not move at all, he wrote. After the 5 hours ended, she called me into room and she started screaming at me. She said that she found people posting political points of view that opposed the U.S. on my friends list. Ajawi wrote that he told the officer that he had not made any political posts and that he should not be held responsible for others' posts. I responded that I have no business with such posts, that I didn't like, share, or comment on them. So there's a good chance, you know, with Facebook algorithms, he might not have even seen them, to be fair about it, because you don't see everything your friends post. And told her that I shouldn't be held responsible for what others post. I have no single post on my timeline discussing politics. The officer then canceled Azawi's visa, informed him he would be deported, and allowed him a phone call to his parents. Though Azawi's situation is rare among Harvard undergraduates, in 2017, four graduate students faced similar challenges due to a then-effective travel ban instituted by the Trump administration. Those students eventually entered the U.S. after weeks and months in limbo, and the university warned international students not to leave the country. University President Lawrence S. Bacow also weighed into the national debate over immigration policy earlier this year. In July, he penned a letter to United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Acting United States Secretary of Homeland Security Kevin McLeanin to share his deep concern about the federal government's approach to immigration policy. Bacow's letter specifically cited visa challenges Harvard affiliates like Azawi face and the former both delays and denials. Azawi, who has since returned home to Lebanon, wrote he's in touch with a lawyer and hopes to resolve his visa issues so he can arrive this week before classes start. First of all, the courts have held we do not have a religious test to get into this country. No religious test. So the fact that this immigration officer was questioning him about his religion is unconstitutional. That can't be argued. The courts ruled on that. Am I correct?
If that's what they said, but maybe that wasn't one of the things, one of the flags that they had on them that needed to go over.
No, but it said that this immigration officer was questioning him about his religion. She can't do that.
It also said that the immigration officer yelled at him. So I'd like to find out when this goes to court. Now it seems this is all one sided. Obviously, this is the other side to the story. So I'd like to find out if in fact he was questioned about his religion, and also I'd like to find out if this woman did yell at him. You know, it seems like on one side. So this is something that has to be that would
obviously it has to be go through the system. But we don't have luxury for that because we had a show this week to do.
But what I'm saying is, yes, it's unconstitutional, and no, you can't yell from the one sided point.
Assume that what he says is correct. It might not be,
but that's what I'm saying. Right. But I would be interesting to say. And you know, look on the being treated. You know, yell that and stuff. Like I said, I would when I was a lumberjack, we go into Canada a lot, and we would come.
I did not see that coming into this, by the way.
No. But coming back into the border was because we come back in, and you know, I had hair down, he had a beard and hair down on my shoulders and stuff like that. And we were coming back into the country, and me and the guys got hauled into the immigration office, and they interrogated us for about 20-30 minutes. And I'm sitting there going, I'm a United States citizen, and I'm being treated like they caught me hopping over something, you know.
And you were an adult, and that's 20 or 30 minutes, and you got.
Well, I was this kid's age. I was 18. Okay. I was 18.
All right, so
I was 18 at the time.
Younger.
Yeah,
he just flew across the world to be here, and it wasn't 20 or 30 minutes. It's 5 hours.
Right.
It's completely inappropriate.
He also flew in from a place where people really don't like us sometimes.
No, Lebanon,
we don't have a problem. But
Lebanon.
Still, in that area,
Iran.
Yeah, but still, you know, they saw. It's interesting also what's going to come out to see what the red flag was. They also, by law, don't have to tell you what that is, but there was enough there to detain him. Whether that enough was something significant is remaining to be seen.
Responsible for his friend's social media post? That's a bit much.
But if they're seeing something in there, and then they're seeing anti-American rhetoric...
But he's not connected with any of it. He hasn't liked on it. He hasn't commented. He has shared it. He doesn't have any political.
But there might be something in there that they saw that they're not commenting on. That with that in mind, with his friends, whether he's commenting on it or not, is a red flag to them.
Would you want to be held responsible for the things that Pip or I post? Well, Pip, you're just held responsible for kittens. But would you want to be held responsible for things that I post? No, if you didn't comment or share it, you're like, what the fuck? I didn't even see it. It didn't even show up in my feed.
But there are some things that when I post something, sometimes I'll post something, and you know, you and I'll have a couple of words on it, and then you know, I got stuff to do, you got stuff, and there's like a whole slew of people going back and forth. I'll give you an example of such. I was speaking to my niece, and my niece scolded me. I don't like the things you post. And I go, and I think they're horrible, you know, horrible and abhorrent, you know.
You're just promoting your band.
But, But, you know, she said, you know, the things you know, the things that were said about the U.S. soccer team, the girls, was horrible. And I don't want my kids to read that. And I really don't. I'm thinking of removing you from your Facebook page. I go, number one, I do a political show. I go, a lot of
well,
the stuff.
Don't drag me into this.
Stop it. This is where you're getting dragged in.
No,
but
you're getting dragged in, son.
No, hear me out. I do a show on Tuesdays that, you know, there's a lot of political stuff that we'll discuss. I also go on my friend's show that we discuss political things. And I have to comment on it. Well, some of the things that were said were horrible. I go, that was probably Dennis. My buddy Dennis will go in and he'll say some of the, you know, the nastiest stuff.
By the way,
from,
not bright. I know he gets a good deal of gold tickets. From what I've seen of Dennis, not a bright man.
Regardless of what you think about what he posts, if I'm in a situation where I'm going internationally or something like that, somebody could say, well, you said some horrible things about the soccer team and we, you know, you could come here and be a problem, blah, blah, blah. Whoa, I didn't say that stuff. Well, you knew somebody that did and they're on your page. You know, it's almost the same thing.
Wasn't even on his page. This was on his friend's page. It wasn't on his page. There was no political post on this kid.
But there might have been something.
Or there wasn't. Again, we're assuming that what he says is 100% accurate. That's all we have.
Right.
Now, it might be 100% false, and then we'll have to retract.
But like I said, you can't put all the blame on the immigration because there's their side of the story. So it's a one-sided thing. They found something you didn't like. It was suspicious. Yes, they held him. Yes, they held him for 5 hours. Sometimes that happens. Yes, they said that he had to go back and we'll review the visa. It's a situation that cropped up.
If the facts are as they are, if the facts are as Zahawi claims they are, this person's got to go. First of all, it does so much harm to our standing in other in the Middle East. Because then we're everything that the terrorists say we are. We're anti-Islam. We don't want them. And it also hurts us that we're not taking everybody's best.
I understand that, but if we're trying to vet somebody and get to the bottom of something,
then find something. If you go, listen, I don't find something. What your religion is not a reason not to get into this country.
Okay,
what your stupid friend posts on his page is not a reason not to get into the country.
I understand that, but
do you agree with that?
I agree with that, but if that was, you know, number one, if that is what was said, and number two, if that was the basis of having them sent back, there's a problem. I understand. So going by above that, so you just make a generalization on that. So if it's based on that, yeah, there's a problem. But I think for them to single him out and go, there was a red flag there that would concern him as much. That he couldn't come in. And I mean, he is a Harvard, you know, he is going to Harvard. So
scholarship.
I understand it. So with that in mind, I think that there was something that, you know.
He legally attained a visa.
I understand that.
He went through the process.
I understand that. He legally attained, but there was something that they found when they came in that was a flying woman.
Or the person's not good at their job or is having a bad day. There's that too.
Well, then that's going to be on them, obviously. But
right, that's what we need
but
to
right. But like I said, it unfortunately for this story, they're not giving the main reason that he's being sent back. And they also said by, you know, the on the law on this side, they don't have to say at this juncture what was the problem.
Okay. Next story. Texas school district is being sued for allowing an administrator to draw on a black student's head with a permanent marker. In April, Jeanette Peterson, a teacher at Barry Miller Junior High in Pearland, Texas, reportedly told 7th grader Jules Trist that his haircut violated the school's dress code. Peterson said he could either let administrators change the shape of his fade with a Sharpie or face suspension. Trist's family has filed a federal civil rights lawsuit naming Peterson principal Tony Barcelona.
That's a cool name.
It sounds like a lounge act.
I know. I'm Tony Barcelona.
Yeah, I can see you.
Maybe I'll do the Tony Barcelona show.
No. If I was going to be a city, I would name myself Tony Barcelona.
No, if you're going to be Dick Eldorado's sidekick, that's going to be your name.
You don't want to be
Tony Barcelona?
No.
You're a prima donna.
I'm
too good to be Tony Barcelona.
Yes.
Oh, fuck yourself.
if that's how you feel.
Snob.
Yes. Yes. I'm not denying it. I am the fucking podcast elite. I certainly am. You will not get my cowboy hat with skulls.
No.
discipline clerk.
So if you are Tony Barcelona, you have to say it with a lisp.
No. Tony Barcelona is... No, my dear.
All right, you guys work out creative on your time.
Shut your face. Tony Barcelona is swat.
You guys work on creative for this mythical show with this not happening character in your own damn time. Got a post show meeting to get to. You guys can workshop it. You know, you have all that free time, Joe. Discipline clerk Helen Day in Pearland Independent School District for what they call a humiliating and racist attack. He came over and said, "You have two options. You can either go to in-school suspension or color it." Trice 13 told KTRK, "Everyone was coming up to me. It was like the talk of the school that day and the day after." I would imagine so. In a public statement, Pearland ISD said it humbly apologized and expressed great regret over this matter, adding that it does not condone the incident and did not consider it an appropriate punishment for a dress code violation. The school's regulations did ban extreme hairstyles such as carvings, mohawks from 1984, spikes, etc. But per the suit, a fade is common with African-American youth. The haircut did not depict anything violent, gang-related, obscene, or otherwise offensive or inappropriate in any manner. Trice did not believe the haircut violated any school policy. Barcelona and Peterson reportedly laughed as they took a black Sharpie and started coloring in Trice's scalp. KHOU reports, JT felt extremely degraded and suffered at least great embarrassment, shame, anxiety. Yeah, now you're Sharpie head for the rest of your career. The jet black markings did not cover the haircut design line, but made the design more prominent, and such was obvious to those present at the very beginning of the scalp blackening process. Trice's parents said they tried to resolve the issue directly with the school district, but got no response. They have requested a jury trial and are seeking monetary damages, declaratory judgment, and injunctive relief. They're also using the district's dress code policy to declare it unconstitutional. First of all, haircuts that don't depict sex or violence, why can't we have them in school? I mean, really? Well, nobody ever got stabbed with a spiky hair.
And here's the thing about the a fade. I'm like, what the hell is a fade? What do these kids wear? Yeah, what's a fade?
It's nothing outrageous.
I Googled it.
Okay.
Okay?
Good for you.
Do you know who wears a fade? Everyone under 25. Everybody has one under 25. What's the big deal? And boy, did they fuck up. Boy, did they fuck
up. But, Joe, we have to hear their side of the story.
No.
But, as you would say, but with the facts we're being given right now,
they're
boy,
assholes.
Did they fuck
they
up.
Are,
and you're right.
You're not supposed to put ink on somebody's skin. There's toxins in there. It's not supposed to be. You don't fucking color on a kid's head. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? How do you think this is a good idea?
I don't know what the hell they
were. And the fact that they couldn't come out and apologize and rectify, fucking sue them. Again, lose your job. I'm done with people showing such stupid judgment. You're supposed to be a teacher. You're supposed to be in charge. I know being responsible means nothing in this country anymore. I get it. But in my little world, in Davin world, you got to have some common sense. At no point would I go, you know what'll solve this? A Sharpie. You know, if you got a problem with it, you go, listen, we got to call your parents. Stay in school for today. We got to call your parents. We got to resolve this. Just so you know, we got to rectify this by tomorrow. But you don't take it upon yourself to color in the kid's head. You don't do that.
Well,
it's insane.
When they see all, you know, when they see all the facts and find out what their side of the story, but nonetheless, if these are the facts, yeah, they fucked up.
So what happens if you have a Rastafarian child and they have dreadlocks? Is that an outrageous hairstyle?
Yeah, they would say so.
Probably. You know, but then you could say that's being discriminatory.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying this is unconstitutional. Maybe they're right. I don't know.
But I don't see a fade being that much of a distraction.
Nor does anybody else.
Like I said, everybody who has a everyone at 25.
Like I said,
fade.
I don't even I had spiky hair. I don't understand why a mohawk or spiky hair. As long as they're not hurting anybody with it, what's the matter? It's on the kid's head. As long as they're charging like a rhinoceros.
The thing, with the whole thing, they're concerned about something that's going to be distracting. A mohawk is distracting.
For a minute. Oh, look at that head of hair. And then you're off of it. I mean, you're not losing focus on algebra.
The thing about it is if you have a whole, you know, it's distracting. Other kids will goof on it and there could be a problem. There could be a fight
over
it.
The first day.
I don't know.
And then we're over it. And then you know what you do? You yell at the kids that are goofing on the mohawk. That's what you go, what are you doing? Don't look at his head. Look at your paper. Because the kid with the mohawk isn't doing anything. Now, if there's a pair of tits on the mohawk, we got something to talk about.
So let's go through what could be depicted as a hairstyle. Let's go anything violent. All right.
So like if you got
what
like
could be, what's a if, violent hairstyle?
I guess if you got like somebody, no, like you can carve into heads. So if you had like a gun shooting somebody, violent, a knife stabbing somebody, I would go, you know what? That's inappropriate for school.
All right. Then gang-related, I guess, maybe something.
Yeah, along those lines.
Along those lines.
I'm with you.
Obscene?
Yeah, if you got a penis on your head, all right. You know what? That doesn't belong
people
in school.
People call you dickhead. Ha ha! A little laugh. All right. Anyway. So obscene.
that song and dance was obscene.
I didn't have my hat and cane.
There's a hat right there. No, the cowboy hat. No, enjoy. No, there's a wiffle ball bat. I'd love to see the floor show.
Me beating you in a cowboy hat?
Settle down there, Dick Eldorado.
So, yeah, so otherwise offensive or inappropriate in any manner. So I don't see a fade being in that. A mohawk, you know, if you want to be technical.
Kids had really, mohawks when I was in school.
Really wouldn't be in. Some guys on a football team might, you know, so... You know,
you're just looking to be a douche,
and that so they have to be. Yeah, it's really a matter of opinion with that in mind. I mean, sometimes things are blatant, but in a matter of opinion, and a fade is certainly not
in
there.
In our day, it would have been hair down to your waist on a guy. That's what it would be in our day. Long hair. That's what it would be.
Yeah, my buddy had long hair.
Right, but I'm saying, but he wasn't at the school. But I'm saying it sounds like at this school, long hair on a guy would have been an offensive or distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fucking get with the times. It's stupid.
But even when they talked about, when I was in high school, he talked about dress. You know, they would talk about, along those same lines. But there was never really a problem. You know, if you have somebody, like I said, somebody that... Looks like, you know, if the story is true on the from what the claimant is saying, you know, they might have had it out for him. And with the magic markers, just absolutely stupid.
Teacher's got to go. Got to go. Or be suspended at the least.
I don't think I think suspension. I don't think this is a case for suspension.
You think this is a case for firing?
Yeah, because okay. you should have known that. That was very much out of line. I don't think, you know, the suspension, if you're saying something that you don't find offensive in a teaching action that somebody finds offensive, and we've had these stories on the show before where you get called, well, she should be let go. No, she didn't mean to say that. She said it. She apologized.
No, this was a very intentional act.
That's what my point is. You know, so on that end of a speech or something, there is a debate whether she should be suspended or fired. This is an act. You drew something on somebody's head with a magic marker. Pack your shit and get out.
All right. We'll move on.
Yeah. One more thing I just wanted to mention that Joe's girl said. Maybe they thought it was gang-related.
Well, then they could do what Joe does and Google a fucking fade.
Right.
Yeah, if they did, yeah, because you do, yeah, you Google a fade, and fade, like I said, well, who were, everybody under 25 has one.
All right, let's lighten it up with some Nazi news.
You do speak Spanish, you do speak Oregon, you do speak Sweden, you do speak...
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
So here's the first story. We got the doubleheader on Nazi news. United States Army commander has been suspended pending an investigation into a memo sent out to Army recruiters that used Auschwitz's infamous Nazi slogan in official correspondence. Because why wouldn't you need inspiration? An estimated 1.3 million people were deported to the Nazi death camp near the industrial town of...
Boy, that's a weird industrial town name.
when they said it.
Yeah.
Oswiecim in southern Poland between... Oh, Poland, we'll be getting to them soon. Between 1940 and 1945, the camp is the graveyard of over 1.1 million men, women, and children.
Those sent to the main camp known as Auschwitz would pass under a large iron gate bearing the words, Arbeit macht frei, or work sets you free. In 2019, U.S. Army recruiters in Houston, Texas, passed the displayed motto after their commander included the infamous Nazi phrase as part of an incentive program to encourage Army recruiters to complete more enlistment contracts of new recruits. Arbeit macht frei, work will set you free, no change, the memo said in official correspondence to subordinate. One, contract equals no Saturday work days for the remainder of the PL phase line. If you write six contracts, I guess you get six people to enlist, or more in a PL, you are good, and I make a shrine to you in the company command group, another line said. The official correspondence was posted by Truth of Army Recruiting a Facebook page aimed at scrutinizing U.S. Army recruiting command. The page also provides a forum for Army recruiters to vent anonymously about the struggles of being a military recruiter. Contacted by Newsweek, the administrator of Truth of Army Recruiting said the screenshot was sent in by a U.S. Army recruiter in the Houston area, according to screenshots provided to this publication between the Army recruiter and the administrator. The memo was pinned to the company bulletin board and had been there since at least January, said the administrator of Truth of Army Recruiting, who has not to be named. When asked if Truth of Army Recruiting added the image showing the front gate of Auschwitz, the administrator told Newsweek the photograph was part of the memo that was pinned to the company bulletin board. Contacted by Newsweek on Thursday, U.S. Army Recruiting Command said they were aware of the memo sent out by a recruiting company commander in the Houston area. The commander has been suspended pending the outcome of our current investigation into the situation, said Kelly Bland, the Director of Public Affairs for U.S. Army Recruiting Command. Army recruiting leaders will take appropriate action once the investigation is complete and all facts are known. When an individual enters into the military, they are held to high moral and ethical standards. Soldiers who choose not to live up to our values will be held accountable for their actions. In a follow-on email to Newsweek from U.S. Army Recruiting Command on Thursday, officials said they would look into the memo with the Auschwitz image being hung onto the company bulletin board. The memo was distributed digitally and did not contain any images. We have no evidence or reason to believe that the company commander distributed a photograph of the fence, but this will be looked into as part of the investigation, said a spokesperson for Army Recruiting Command. The statement did not identify the recruiting company commander by name. The administrator of Truth of the Army Recruiting said the recruiters in Houston had achieved their recruiting goals not long ago, but area commanders were still pushing them into working late evenings, a problem that has plagued the Pentagon's recruiting community. Back in 2009, the U.S. Army investigated a collection of suicides in Houston Recruiting Battalion, NPR reported. The Army concluded that the four suicides stemmed from the command, climate stress, personal matters, and medical problems. Yet despite the grueling hours and never-ending paperwork, the administrator of Truth or Army Recruiting told Newsweek, there are some things that you just don't joke about. All right. You know what? If they do this investigation and it shows this guy did it, you got to let him go. You're recruiting people, and you're sending to your colleagues to keep working, and you're quoting Auschwitz? When is quoting Auschwitz ever a good idea? Other than, hey, speaking of horrible things, here's a quote from Auschwitz.
Right. It's really usually not something that people would use and not expect bad results.
Excuse me. I'm like trying to hold
it.
Oh, thank you.
They gotta do the thing. But if he did this shit, he's gotta go. You can't be this stupid.
Do you discharge him from the army, or you reassign him out of recruiting?
You knock him down. You knock him down. You know what? He's a commander. He can't be a commander.
You knock him down. Yeah, you reassign him. You can't look. You can't. This is absolutely stupid, and you can't go. Well, you know, some people don't realize what went on, and maybe he's uneducated.
He's in the army.
Thank you. You're in the army. You're in the army.
It's your gig.
You're right. And a lot of you learn is military history. You do know about this.
You should.
I think. Right. Yeah. And to put this on now, when they said, well, they had the sign and the front gate and stuff like that. From the screenshot that they took, you could see under the gate and the building, and right under it, they show the directive from him.
Right, but they said when he posted that he did not include the image, so he didn't actually have the gate. He just had the phrase.
Yeah, but even with the phrase, you should know as a military officer that was on the gate of Auschwitz.
We should all know that. We're doing a bad job of teaching about the Holocaust. We're doing a really bad job
that
as a
could
country.
That could be true.
But you're right. So especially the Army should know.
The Army should know. I mean, he should know that.
So is this an act of stupidity, ignorance, anti-Semitism? I don't even know what to make
I don't think it was an act of anti-Semitism. I think it was an act of stupidity. I think it was an act of somebody that is a recruiter. He's one of these gung-ho guys that, you know, that pushes his people and stuff like that. And in his gung-ho mind, work will set you free. He thinks that's a great thing to, you know, bring people in and to work hard to recruit people. And, you know, but however, it's on the gate of one of the most horrible places in history. You know, so it was stupid. Does he get discharged? No, he gets knocked down a grade and he can't be in recruiting anymore. Was he a commander? Well, he gets knocked down to maybe a sergeant or something like that. His grade comes down, and you know whatever his ranking is lowered, and he is knocked down. It goes on his record.
It does not inspire confidence.
No.
No. my brother used to be in sales. Or, I mean, he's in sales now, but he used to be in sales in health spas. And these guys would go all worked up trying to get their salespeople to go out and, as they would put it, get the gross. And they would try to get them pumped up, and they would say all these crazy things. Like, they'd have these big meetings, and yeah, you know. And I think that there's some sort of, like, huge salesman testosterone rush, the go hard, and that kind of bonehead mentality probably overtook this guy. I'm going to get them to do what I want and get as many people as possible, and, you know, I'm going to go as intense as I can. And in this bonehead's idea, that's Nazi.
Yeah, and you're 100% spot on. That's what I was saying before, and you said it a lot better than I did. That is exactly my feeling on the situation, and in my opinion, that's 100% spot on. With that in mind, he's got to be knocked down in rank, and he's got to be reassigned out of recruiting. Put him in the motor pool. He could park a Jeep or something.
All right, we'll see how Joe feels about this next thing, if we should reassign somebody. This week in Poland is observing a dark and traumatic anniversary on Saturday. The country marked 80 years since Nazi forces began their invasion of the nation in 1939, signaling Europe's descent into what would become the Second World War. Hey, does this sound better now, Pip, by the way? I'm on top of the mic.
Yeah, well, it sounds fine to me, but Joe's girl hasn't said anything about it. All right. I'll ask her.
Because now I'm on top of the mic, so let me know if there's still a problem.
Eat that mic.
Uh-huh, eat that cock. Anyway, the occasion was marked with... Occasion was marked with solemn ceremonies. I go, eat that cock.
Not the stupidest thing in this story, but close. The occasion was marked with solemn ceremonies in multiple locations in Poland. These include the Baltic port of Westerplatte near... Gansk, bombarded by German battleships in the war's opening salvos. Crowds
also gathered...
Don't pick stories with tough names in them.
Can't wait until the Dick Eldorado show appears. It's going to be nursery rhymes. Crowds also gathered in the city by Wieland, which was raised by Nazi aircraft in what is considered among the first of a long list of Nazi war crimes in Poland. Several heads of state, meanwhile, attended an event in Warsaw to mark the anniversary. German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier was among them, vowing that his nation would never forget the horrors of World War II and asking forgiveness for Germany's historical guilt. President Donald Trump was also due to attend the commemorations, but canceled his trip at the last minute to stay in the U.S. and coordinate the preparations for in response to Hurricane Dorian and apparently play some golf, which actually happened, but whatever, which threatens to bring punishing winds and huge storm surges to the East Coast, or maybe not. We don't know at this point, do we, Joe?
It's coming. It's off the shore. They might be getting winds in North Carolina. It's going to be probably about 150 miles off the coast of North Carolina. Florida looks like it's going to be spared, but it's going to be a lot of rough surf. Carolina might get some heavy winds. It's going to be by the tip of Montauk probably around Saturday morning.
Joe Curry with your weather report.
Thank you.
Instead, Vice President Mike Pence traveled to Warsaw. But the president was soon facing criticism after being spotted at a Trump-branded golf course on Saturday and again on Monday. On Sunday, having touched down back on the south lawn of the White House aboard Marine One, the president was asked if he had a message for the people of Poland, having missed the weekend commemorations. Rather than lament the horrors of the war or express solidarity with other world leaders against a repeat of such a conflict, here is what our president said.
I do have a great message for Poland, that we have Mike Pence, our vice president, is just about landing right now, and he is representing me. I look forward to being there soon, but I just want to congratulate Poland. It's a great country with great people. We also have many Polish people in our country. It could be 8 million. We love our Polish friends, and I will be there soon.
He then followed with, "Nobody loves a good Polish joke more than me." Really a tribute to the wonderful reputation the Poles have for being some of the smartest people in the world. It's true. Believe me, it's true.
I think you fudged some of that.
Oh, God.
No, Joe, it's true. The right-wing Polish government had hoped Trump would attend the Warsaw event as a guest of honor, but instead had to settle for Pence. Poor Pence.
Well, he—it's not settled for Pence. I mean, we didn't know the severity of the hurricane.
I don't have a problem. I think the president did the right thing by staying and sending Pence. I think he did the right thing. Yeah. Now playing golf, not so much.
Well, why? What's he supposed to do? Sit there by the shore and wait for the hurricane to come?
That'd be nice.
He's down there playing around the golf. He's got a little free time. I'm not kidding. He's got a little free time playing around the golf.
He's the president. You shouldn't have less free time than the president of the United States.
No, the thing about it is that he had some free. He wasn't going on the trip. It's not feasible for him to come back to the country. He sent Pence. He's waiting to, you know, he's waiting to for the storm.
But wasn't playing golf a big deal during the 2016 campaign? Wasn't that a big thing?
Didn't
the president promise, I'm never going to play golf, I won't have time for it? But anyway, I digress. And
he's also not getting a salary. He's also doing this free. He's not collecting
he's
a salary.
Making money.
But still,
he's making money.
This whole thing he's playing golf is a non-story.
It was a story in 2016 when Obama was doing it.
Oh, it is a story, though, because of how much money the American people are paying to send him to go play golf. He spent more money on golf than he would be getting as a salary.
Listen, on the golf thing, I really don't care. But it can't be a story for one and not for the other. If Trump didn't make a big deal about it and say, I'm not going to play golf, I wouldn't give two shits. Quite honestly, I'm happy when he's playing golf. The further away he gets from doing shit, I'm happy about. But anyway, that's not the part of this story. That's not the part of this story. So the vice president used his speech to lament war crimes committed by both Nazi and Soviet troops in Poland and suggested that the salient problem in the 20th century was that men had forgotten God. I have never heard of a country being congratulated for being invaded and suffering under the brutal regimes of the Nazis and the Soviets before. That is a new one. Has anybody heard of that before? Congratulations.
I can't say I have.
No, congratulations for your invasion. How dumb is he?
I don't think that there's a scale that measures that low.
You know, we kind of chuckled when he said how the American Revolution Army defended our airports. We got a problem. We got a history problem. But whatever. He's dumb as rocks. I can't fucking hide it anymore.
I don't understand. You just want to congratulate. It's a great country
no,
with
you
great
don't
people.
You don't, because it's a solemn occasion. It's not congratulations. It's we stand with you. This can never happen again. We will never allow this to happen with you again. I want the Polish people to know that the people of the United States and of all of our military weight will never allow this to happen to you again. We will not allow it to anybody in NATO. Something like that. Or we mourn the loss of life. How much you lost. We cry with you. That's what Pence had the right idea.
Yeah. Well, Pence actually made that official. They're asking Trump this on as he's going to Marine One. So there's not a lot.
That's where he does all his talking.
Yeah.
That's where he does all his talking on the way to Marine One.
Yeah, he loves going to Marine One and talking.
That's what his thing is.
Yeah.
He's fucking.
That is his thing. Is he stands in front of helicopters, and talks over chopper noise. It's ridiculous.
He's as dumb as they come. But he would also like to congratulate the 2004 New York Yankees for being the first team in history to blow a 3-0 lead in the World Series. He would also like to congratulate the crew of the Hindenburg for making such a loud boom. And finally, he would like to congratulate race car driver Dale Earnhardt for the strategy and bravery of facing that wall head on.
Nah, this is a non-story.
Oh, my God. The big boom.
He's a moron. He's a moron. He fucks up every day. It's like if Kramer was president.
But he just made a comment in his answering questions on the way to the helicopter, okay?
If you know history, if you know, and he's the, you said the Army guy needs to know history. He's the commander-in-chief. He's in charge of all the military.
It was a quick comment on the way to the helicopter.
That's all he gives. He doesn't have press conferences.
No, but that's what it was. It was nothing more than a quick,
He's the president of the United States. We hang on every word. If Trump scratches his balls, we all need to know. We hang on. That's the gig. You don't congratulate somebody for being invaded.
You don't go to a wake and talk about how pretty the drapes in the funeral parlor are.
Yeah, when Pip got designated for reassignment from her previous day program, you and I did not say, congratulations, Pip. No, we offered sympathy. We said, we're there for you. This is terrible. We feel your pain. Because that's what human beings do, Joe. That's what normal, functioning human beings do.
It was just
And even you two managed to do it.
Yes, and even us two managed to do it.
No, it was just a quick comment that he made. And then the press has got to make a big story out of it. The press is also going, oh, well, he played golf, too. What's he supposed to do, put his fucking cape on and wait by the fucking shore for the fucking hurricane? Come on, cut it out.
For himself, for the golf thing, for him. Because he said... He made a whole big thing about Obama playing golf, and he said he will never play golf when he is president because he won't have time for it, and he's played golf more than anybody. That's on him.
Mm.
That he made that a big campaign thing, and people on your team sucked it. Oh, yeah, golf, golf, golf. Like I said, I don't give a shit. I wouldn't give a shit if he didn't make a big deal about it. I never cared if a president was playing golf.
I seem to care a lot now.
Only because he made a big deal of it. Mm. Otherwise, if he didn't make a big deal of it, I wouldn't care. I'd go, good, let him unwind. What's he gonna? I might agree with you, but because he made a big deal of it, he doesn't get a pass on it.
Not story to me.
Well, of course, to you. You think him talking about nuking a hurricane is a non-story?
No, that's crazy.
That's your guy.
But was that an actual tweet? I don't believe it was an actual tweet.
It was a tweet.
Where's the tweet? Could you find the tweet, Pip, where he said that?
Where he said which thing?
Yeah, if he actually tweeted that. I heard that was hearsay at a meeting.
No.
Okay.
But you also heard, we all heard him say, because he did it at a campaign thing, that the sound of windmills causes cancer. Okay, sounds. I'm moving.
I don't know. I'd like to find that as well.
That was live. That was during one of his campaign rallies.
We saw that come out of his mouth.
Do you know if that was tongue in cheek?
Oh, come on now.
Come on.
Do you?
No. He meant it because he was railing against windmills and how they kill birds. He was being serious. He's a moron. Just own it. Own it. He's a fucking moron. If he was not president, he'd go, oh my God, look at that fucking moron with the poster board at the corner. Don't look him in the eyes. He's coming this way. No. He's a fucking moron.
He's not doing a bad job for a moron.
He's a moron for anybody. I can't support morons. Maybe you can. I can't. If I thought somebody was a moron, I'd go, get them the fuck away from there.
They're getting the job done fine.
Well, that's not necessarily true either, but I'm not going to debate the merits of Donald Trump's presidency right now. What the fuck is going on with this thing? No, stop talking.
Hold on. I got to... What the fuck? Check. All right. I guess it's working. This microphone is fucked up. All right. I'm trying with it. I don't know. Maybe it's the cable? Maybe it's the cable.
Cut the cord, because that mic has never had problems for me.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see. I'm registering on the board loud and clear right now. I don't know. All right. So
Jessica was saying that. Oh, she's saying that, you know, you're a little better.
Not much, but I'm working there. I'll get there, Joe's girl. So Twitter and Facebook don't like vagina. Twitter removed advertisements for a book on gynecology because they used the word vagina, a prominent medical practitioner has claimed. Dr. Jennifer Gunter, a Canadian gynecologist who also attributes to the New York Times, wrote on Twitter Tuesday, contributes to the New York Times, wrote on Tuesday that her publishers had been blocked from using the word vagina in promotional tweets for her new book, The Vagina Bible.
Her name is Gunter?
Is there a follow-up, Joe?
I know, it could rhyme with the word, too.
Doesn't rhyme with vagina. I don't know what you're talking about.
Is a Dick Alderado's poetry lesson 102?
Yeah.
Oh, this is advanced. Lord help us. Gunter, who's made more than...
Sorry.
Are you done, Beavis? Yeah. And by the way, the cat looked fucking terrified and couldn't wait to get away from you. You fucking post a picture. I love this cat. The cat's like, get me the fuck away from this maniac.
That's the way he always is.
Well, because around you, because look at you. Whose tail is it? You know whose tail it is, stupid.
Asking me for 5 years.
You should fucking figure it. Fucking moron, whose tail is it? It's the neighbors across the street. Why do you go bother them and stop freeloading? This is my house.
Put me down, you asshole.
And get out of my litter box. Gunter, anyway. Gunter, who has more than 200,000 followers on Twitter and frequently uses the social media platform to correct myths about gynecology, tweeted, just so you know... Okay, that's funny to Joe.
Sorry, to create myths.
Wait. Nobody's talking about Pegasus flying out of there.
That's what it sounds like. There's a myth.
God, Joe. That's a bottomless pit that you can smuggle loose change in there. I don't know. That you can make nice, tasty rolls. I don't know. Just so you know, my publisher is not allowed to use the word vagina to promote my book at Twitter. The image can have it, but they are not allowed to use the word vagina in text. Tagging Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, she added, "Dear at Jack, vagina is an anatomical term and not a dirty word unless you use it right. Our societal inability to say vagina, Like we say, elbow is one reason I insist on a vagina in the title, she said in a subsequent tweet. When we're not allowed to say a word, the implication is it's dirty or shameful. Not being able to buy an ad because of the word vagina for a book about vaginas is ridiculous. Gunther's initial tweet quoted her... quote an earlier post from Kensington Publishing, publisher of the Vagina Bible. The publisher shared a photo of the book from the cover, writing alongside it, "We aren't allowed to say the name of the book in the ad, but trust us, you want it. We all want it."
Subsequently, copies of Your Pussy and You have been sold.
You know, this is so ridiculous.
So basically, it goes on that they couldn't post it on Facebook and Twitter. They did reinstate some of the posts. That's basically the gist of it. I mean, you can't use vagina. Vagina can't be a dirty word when it's the actual anatomical correct word for
it. It's not the way. It's about the vagina. It's the technical term for the word.
Sure, you can't call it a hoo-ha.
No.
Who knows how many hoos or haws are involved?
Yeah, or they'll think it's about old car noises, you know, or car horn. Oh, boy, never mind. Old car sound horn.
Yeah.
Old car horn noises. Old car horn noises.
And that's the first 15 minutes of the Dick Eldorado podcast.
You're just jealous.
Am I?
You can be the first guest.
I don't want to be.
You're going to be, what was the name?
Tony Barcelona.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Pipple use her real name. Those things will happen on the same day.
Here's the thing that is so ridiculous. The woman has a really good point. It's like, we're not allowed to say the word vagina because, ooh, it's something nasty. But penis, 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 penis. I mean, why is our vaginas scary and dirty for people?
Well, because it's dark and they smell funny.
Your position?
And if that's so bad, how come we're always trying to make a beeline there?
Because we're morons. But like, all right, if you can't say vagina, then you shouldn't be able to say penis.
Of course, right. No, you shouldn't be. So, what are you supposed? I think it's absolutely
the JJ. You called the JJ. The JJ Boyd.
But it just seems you can't say vagina. Why? It's a book about, you know, the vagina.
It's a coffee table book.
It's a
big pictures of vaginas.
Just want to make sure one of the legs don't get stuck in there. But it's a coffee table book.
That's a myth.
But
I prefer the counter or the dinner table. Coffee tables are awkward.
Listen, I don't think you can ban promoting vaginal health. They also banned OBGYN.
That's ridiculous.
If you go on, you know, the computer. Sometimes you have tampon ads and stuff like that that come
up. I insist on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's about the same. It's, you know, a related item. You know, I don't understand why they can't put vagina. It's stupid. Everything is getting out of hand.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. We had the sexual revolution in the 70s. I think we're going back to puritanical times.
Yeah, we are.
I think we're going back to puritanical times because we're just censoring everything. It's not only, you know, what you say on TV, what you speak at the water cooler, what you say on stage as a comic, what you put in the song lyric, and now you can't put vagina on a book on a medical book about a vagina.
I'll tell you what, you can't put vaginas on Facebook, but you could put it on my face. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm a patriot.
Really? That's going to take a seat next to the stink joke I put out.
Yeah, but I got it out the first try. There's the difference. You fucking stumbled through it and kept on fighting. Why? Take your loss, stupid. Stay down, Rock. Stay down.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a chore. Yeah.
It was the second one tonight.
What was the first one?
It was the first segment. I don't remember. I tune you out. Yeah.
It's kind of handy when you get a second mic.
I got a third mic that's deft. Yeah, so we all agree this is stupid.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So stupid.
All right. Well, maybe in that vein, we'll see. A Florida supermarket chain is in the eye of the storm. Huddle, huddle, hoo.
Huddle, hoo.
For creating a cake decorated with an ominous Hurricane Dorian bearing down on the Sunshine State. This is when the Florida was going to take a direct hit. Jessica Sullivan shared a photo of the storm-themed cookie cake replete with a wide cone of uncertainty on Facebook with the caption, "Publix has all your hurricane party supplies." She told ABC News she bought the pastry baked by Lyndon Hardenberg at Publix Supermarket in Julington Village in St. John's, Florida. The one-pound chocolate chip message cookie, which featured a red Dorian, lime green Florida, and blue icing waves, cost $10.99. One Twitter user who also shared Sullivan's photo wrote, "Only in Florida and only at Publix. Some were offended that the pastry made light of a potentially catastrophic situation." Writing, "Not funny." But Sullivan brushed off the criticisms that she thought the cake was just funny. I mean, yeah, these storms are serious, but if you can't find some humor in a crappy situation, you'll go nuts.
Lighten up a hurricane cake.
She said she went to buy a birthday cake for her son and saw the cookie cake and decided to get it. She figured it would allay all her boy's fears about hurricanes. Publix sought to weather the storm by tweeting, "It's never our goal to offend anyone with the products we offer and apologize that we let you down. And the fresh zucchinis will be you can use during this hurricane in an unmentionable place."
Listen, I hope they have zucchinis because every time the lights go out, there's a baby boom 9 months later.
Exactly.
So, get your zucchinis now.
So was this cookie cake funny or in poor taste?
It was funny. Lighten up.
Funny.
I don't think I'd buy it, but I wouldn't be offended by it.
I wouldn't be people are assholes. They should have an asshole cake and then go, "Oh, I'm offended." Yeah, well, this is for you. Yeah.
The asshole cake.
Brown icing, you know.
Little pink.
Make it a bundt cake.
Pink
make
circle
it a bundt
in the middle.
Cake with brown icing around the center.
A little white on the outer fridges.
Well, that's for our gay friends.
But white men don't like anal sex with a woman?
Well, no. Well, that's true.
I guess we learned a little something.
How about you?
No, it's about you, my friend. No, something more for the car ride home. You have a full slate tonight, my friend. Enjoy. Meeting after meeting after meeting for my pal. You guys can talk about that.
Oh,
yeah, well, at least Joe's girl can sit. We know that. Anyway. Yeah. Or maybe they play other games and Joe can't sit. I don't know. Use your imagination.
Well, she could sit. She's probably not going to stand for some of the ideas I had tonight.
Probably not, Joe. Probably not. You might want to get her a cookie cake.
Which I said are only ideas.
Yeah, she's not fond of your ideas.
So, neither are you.
I've had prolonged exposure. It's like radiation poisoning. Eventually, it's going to get you. So after the hurricane, should they sell these cakes broken or underwater? Like, what do you do, like, after the hurricane comes and you still have these cakes?
I would mess it up a bit.
Maybe pour some water on it.
I'd mess it up with waves destroyed.
What a fucking stupid story. Listen, when you're getting offended by cakes in public, kill yourself. So you stand out on the beach when the waves are coming and let the waves embrace you.
Yes.
I mean,
you have to pick your battles. And this is really a stupid line in the sand.
Yeah, which probably won't be there much longer.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our final break. On the break, we got new music from Be Infinite with Jealous, and you can find out more about them at khb-music.de. Short break, then we'll do some Ann Jackson.